You know, when I came up here this morning, I give a challenge to you all. You've all got a bright future. Some of you kind of had a look on your faces as you're talking to me. When we talk about a living sanctuary, we're talking about coming to a place of worship and say, God, I want you to use me. But have you been like me, coming to church sometimes? I think I'm here, and I'm not so sure if I'm all here. I'm here, but I have to say, I really haven't been pleasing to you, Lord, all week. But I want to be. Can you relate to that this morning? I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to challenge you to know that you have a bright future because of the Lord Jesus. We come and we proclaim to be a sanctuary for Christ, a sanctuary that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And sometimes we look at ourselves and say, I'm not what I need to be. I'm with you. So I want to ask you today, before we get into the Word, as Sister Michelle's playing, as the praise team is getting ready, they're going to sing the chorus one more time. But before we do, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for just a moment. I want you to take all of those things that seem to be hindering, that when I say you've got a bright future, you may be thinking, what is it that's keeping me from being that? What is it that I've done this week that I know the Lord's not, He's not pleased with? I want you to take a moment in prayer to present those to the Lord. Repent of whatever it may be. Present the disappointments you may have. Maybe it's just simply, I've just been frustrated this week. Maybe not even of your own doing. But whatever it is, won't you take care of that with the Lord today? We're going to have our altar call first, okay? So let's just all bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. And let's bring these things to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we're looking into your Word today, and we know that every time we come to your Word, we're challenged in our lives and our hearts. And Lord, I just pray for your people today, that we would be reminded that we truly do have a bright future because of Jesus. Lord, sometimes in life and in ministry, things get difficult. They wear us down. And sometimes we just simply fail when we should have succeeded. And Lord, I know that all of us, especially me, can look over times that we should have been shining brightly, but yet we were quietly standing in the corner, being inactive and waiting for someone else to step in. Lord, I pray that you give us the courage today, give us the strength that we need to live up to the name that you have given us, that we're living in Christ, that we're separate from the world, but most of all, that we have a hope for tomorrow. We don't have to wait for that hope because the Lord Jesus has already come and finished that work on the cross, so we can have that hope today. I pray that you'll restore that hope and that joy in each and every life here today. Use us for your honor and glory, that we may bring praises to your name, that will glorify your name, that will be living examples, that others that see us will see you and not ourselves. So Lord, as we sing this song one more time, help us to prepare our hearts and minds to enter into your Word, but most of all, be changed by your Word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you ready to worship now? As we prepare to turn to Judges chapter 13, we're looking at the seventh judge. Now, we haven't covered every one of them because you'll find that many of the judges that are recorded, we have very little about them. But Samson is one that we have much that is written about him. He's probably one of the more familiar characters in Scripture, one of the more familiar examples that just about anyone that you talk with would know who Samson is. Now, unfortunately, along with that knowledge, they usually remember the worst part, right? They remember the failures. They remember the weakness. Well, you know, as we look at Samson, I want us to see the very beginning of who Samson is. I want us to see the very beginning and the intent that God had in plan and in store to use Samson for. So when we look at Samson, I want us to take a moment and reflect on what God had planned from the very beginning. When we learn of Samson, We learn that God already had His life planned out, had a purpose for Him to fill, and for Him to serve and to deliver Israel. Through the time of Samson, we don't see the full deliverance of Israel actually to come much later under the leadership of Samuel. Now, if you remember at the very beginning, we got into the book of Judges. We talked about Judges, but the time of the Judges actually goes beyond the book of Judges into 1 Samuel, into the first seven chapters of 1 Samuel, because Samuel was actually the last judge. Now, many think, oh, I thought he was a prophet. He was. He was also a judge. And so in his serving, he concluded the time of the judges. And then that leads us into the reign of the kings, which started with Saul, and then Solomon, David, then Solomon. Let me get it in order. And so this time of judges, although a time of dark desperation, if you will, spiritually dark for the nation of Israel, we continue to see those glimmers of hope that God sends in the deliverer that was going to deliver the nation of Israel. But not always did we see that the Israelites were truly coming to the Lord and crying out in repentance, as sometimes they were just crying out in pain. We can't take this punishment anymore. We can't take the oppression anymore, but yet not truly turning away from their sin. But yet God, out of compassion, responds to them and sends a deliverer. Now, not always was it deserved. In fact, when you begin to read and look at the scriptures, that while Samson was sent, we don't really find a time that they really cried out in repentance, "Lord, I'm sorry." No, he says, "We're suffering here." And in fact, this is one of the longest periods of oppression that we see in the book of Judges, that under the hand of the Philistines, they were under persecution for 40 years. Think of that. Some of you may not have even lived 40 years. So could you imagine an entire lifetime, almost an adult lifetime, of oppression? And yet they never really did repent, but they did cry out to God. And so some of us might be thinking, as we examine the scripture, we'll think, they didn't deserve that at all. And you would be right. Because you know what? Even the salvation and the grace that God extends to us is completely undeserved. Amen? That's why we call it grace. God's rich mercy. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an acronym to remember that. God's riches at Christ's expense. Because He paid for it, He provided it, and we will never deserve it. But we can receive it because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Well, as we look in Judges chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading verses 1 through 7. And if you would follow along in your Bible, or you can follow as I read on the screen. "Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.' So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" As we look at this example, we see that Manoah was excited to hear the news that they were going to have a son. As you know, in the culture of this day, it was very difficult and somewhat automatically assumed that if you didn't have children, that God wasn't blessing you. That is not the case today. It was a cultural thing of that time because we see it was able to bring a significance into the actual birth of this child, which was Samson. He fell into the line of others who had been, their birth announcement had been brought by an angel. If you remember that there was one Isaac, as the Lord came to Sarah and revealed that she was going to have a son. Also, we see John the Baptist also was announced to Elizabeth as she was made aware of her child that was about to be, and then also to Mary when she was to bear Christ. So as we see, the significance of this was great. When we talk about the Philistines, we talk about these nations, and for us it seems as though, well, they're in trouble again. You know, they turn from the Lord, and He chooses to discipline them once again and punish them, and so He uses the Philistines. And one would think that, well, you know, it seems to be a casual mistake that they made, but yet it was a very serious mistake. And being under the rule and the reign of the Philistines was a fearful thing. The Philistines, we see this nation actually being in rule and in existence during the time of Abraham. So this was not a small young nation, but it was a strong nation that had been around for a long time. And they were known as the sea people. In fact, along in the land of Canaan, they lived along the coastline, and they were very effective in keeping that ground and holding that ground. And as you see, they failed to chase them out as they come into the promised land. And so this resistance goes on. So now they're beginning to grow in strength, and now they're starting to move into Israelite territory and beginning to conquer areas that belong to Israel. And so as they were gaining strength, we find that they have a great need for a strong deliverer. Now remember, Judges, when we're in the book of Judges, we're not talking about a judge in a long black robe that sits behind a desk. We're talking about military leaders that are called by God to defend Israel. Now, it seems odd that God would send them into a time of punishment and then send someone to deliver them out of that time of punishment. But what we're seeing is that we're not looking at the people, and as I had mentioned before, Samson wasn't a perfect example, but yet a marred and frail and broken human being just like you and I. He's not the key character, if you will, because we keep thinking, well, the judges are the ones that we're supposed to be looking to, but yet we're finding that as time goes, we see the culture of the time, the spiritual standing of the nation, just continues to spiral down and down and down into depths of sin and worldliness. And we're also seeing the same thing in the judges that are coming to deliver His people. So then the automatic question is, well, why is God using them? Because God has always chosen to use broken people just like you and I. And that is why our future is so bright, because He's patient enough, He's powerful enough, He's God enough to handle us when we fall flat on our face, and He lovingly restores us. Now I'm going to repeat, just like Paul said, so then does that mean I should go do more sin so that I can get more grace? The answer is no. You've got a lot of scars that come with that. But yet what we do is, instead of running to sin, we run from it and we run to God, saying, God, I already know. You already know what I've done. You already know what I've done. And I know You've got the answer. And so we run to Him not as the judge ready to smash us, but we run to Him as our Heavenly Father and say, God, I'm here again. I need Your help. And so as we focus on the Lord, we see that over and over He's exercising grace. He's exercising He's going to fulfill His word and His promise. So as we see that the Philistines continue to grow in strength and strength more and more, And in fact, we see a battle in 1 Samuel chapter 4. We're not going to go there, just write it down. This 40 years of oppression that we see in Judges chapter 13, 14, and covers the life of Samson. And in that battle of Aphek, we see that the Philistines came, they overran the Israelites, they took the Ark of the Covenant of God, they killed three of their priests, and they sent the Israelites scattering. A terrible defeat. But guess who comes on the stage? Samson. Now, he is an adult at this time, but we see he comes in and frustrates the Philistines so that they're not able to completely overrun and take over the nation. You see God's hand at work, sparing a nation that was to be a light to every other nation. Their light's pretty dim right now. In fact, they even stressed somewhat to find any difference of them and the nations around them. But yet God lovingly chooses to defend and to extend His grace one more time and keeps them from being wiped out completely. Why? Because He has a Savior to bring about. He has a Savior and the King of Kings that will come and deliver not only Israel, but all mankind of those who will trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, God has such a great scope, a large scope, much larger than ours. But it's His grace that continues to be offered. First of all, a mysterious messenger. We met this messenger, the same as Samson's mother. We see that this angel comes. And when it says the angel of the Lord, I want to remind you once again, this is Jesus. Isn't that exciting? That Jesus isn't just in the New Testament, but we see Him all throughout Scripture. Why? Because He is God. He is eternal. He is the Savior. He is the King. He is the Creator. The list goes on and on. He is all things because why? He is able to be all things. He is infinite in all things. He is perfect in all things. Isn't it exciting to know that you're not just serving another person that started another religion, but you're actually serving God Himself, the Lord Jesus? When we look at the Scriptures, we find that it is the Lord Jesus that has come to announce the birth of Samson. What is it that we're supposed to do with this? Am I the only one that stops and thinks, well, you know, I didn't have an angel announce my birth. Am I not special enough? Sister Michelle's laughing at me thinking, yeah, I was not even thinking that. Were you? Admit it. I am the only one here. Admit it. I love Sister Michelle's reactions. Her feelings are all over her face, and I can read it. You know, when we think that I'm just not as important, that was kind of the goal that I wanted to set, is that sometimes we may be thinking, well, I was just not important enough to be like Samson. And we think, oh, wow, Samson really messed up. But Isaac was faithful. Angel pronounced his birth. John the Baptist, he was faithful. Had a weird diet, eating locusts and wild honey, but he had an angel announce his birth. Now Jesus, well, of course, why wouldn't they announce His birth, right? But I'm just not, have you ever felt that way? Do you ever looked around you in ministry and those that are up here doing all that they do? And sometimes they say, oh man, I really hit a bad note. I'm so naive and ignorant, I didn't even know you hit a bad note. I wouldn't even know a bad note if it smacked me, you know? I'm really not that good. And so sometimes we look at ministry, we think, I'm just not as good as they are. I don't have as much to offer as they do. I'm so much less. But here's the reality. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Those of you who have chosen to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there was a birth announcement in heaven. We have another child that's come home. We have one that is born again and has new life, that now has eternal life, and has come and returned to the King. Amen? All of us are important to the Lord Jesus. So important that He actually gave His life on the cross for each and every one of us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't He an amazing God? So now that we see the announcement, He came to Samson's mother, but yet her husband wasn't there. So she goes home and tells Manoah what happened. There was a man that came. Oh, he was so brilliant. He was so bright as if he was an angel. I don't know where he was from. He didn't give me his name. And so could you imagine the confusion of Manoah's like, what are we supposed to do with this? Some guy comes along and tells you all this and you think it's going to be true? It's amazing what we see out of this couple. And I want you to see, we're going to read Judges chapter 13, verse 8 through 21. Now you follow along as I read. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Oh, how glorious it would be if that was every father's prayer today. God, send someone to teach me how it is to guide these children of yours to do all that you desire for them to do. Amen? Men, oh, isn't that exciting? These are just simple people. In culture, they thought, oh, they must have done something really bad because they don't have children. Oh, they must really be less because we have children and they don't. Oh, they really must living in a terrible time and a terrible culture. And yet, God heard Manoah. Folks, I tell you what, there's no low place. There's no place too far that God won't hear our genuine, heartfelt prayer. God listened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass that while what will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor any may she drink wine or similar drink, not eat anything unclean." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." And look at Scripture. It tells us, "For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord." We'll explain that here in a minute. Verse 17, "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it up upon the rock to the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord." When we look at this, I want us to think on what we see of this couple. I've got four things I want us to notice. First of all, when he came and visited Samson's mother, she immediately went and told Manoah, her husband, what God had said. Couples, you need to talk. Now, I know that seems trivial. I know it seems basic. You don't need to talk about what's for supper. You don't need to talk about the diet you're trying to keep. I'm not telling you you need to just talk about how irritating the kids are. I'm just kidding, kids. That's not always conversation. I'm not talking about what aggravations went on at work. I'm saying that as a couple, we need to be sharing with one another what God is doing in our lives. Amen? There are so often times that we will see that God will allow one to grow while the other one may be struggling. Have you ever noticed that when you hit a low time that you notice that I've noticed this, that the Lord working in Dawn and I's marriage, that when one is down, the other somehow finds the strength to keep the other one going. And then when they're down, the other one seems to be up, and you can encourage them. Have you ever noticed that? God is able to work those things so that we can complement one another. But guess what? We need to be sharing with each other of what God is doing. If you're growing spiritually and you're just taking off, don't just take off without your spouse. You go back and make sure they're growing. Let them hear the encouragement of what God is doing. Share with them the convictions that are on your heart. Share with them the encouragement that you've gotten, because they may need it also. So often I hear couples come together and say, I could just grow so much better spiritually if it wasn't for him. That's not how God planned it. When you make that commitment together for life to one another, then you grow together. You grow for one another. You grow with one another. It makes it possible to honor and glorify God in and through your family as you're sharing what God is doing in your life. Secondly, Manoah wanted to know how to be faithful. So he prays for understanding. And he asked the Lord, send someone to teach me. Fathers, men, we need to be on our knees for the sake of our family. Don't put it on the shoulders of your wife. She's doing it, I'm sure, but you don't need to put it all on her. Amen? All right, I got one guy that agrees with me today. You guys are going to have to agree with me before I move on. Men, we need to be praying for our families and our homes. Amen? All right, good. I was going to have to come down there. Oh, it was a lot more threatening when my dad would say that. I know it's not real threatening when I say that. Third, the angel comes a second time. And I want you to notice this, guys. When the angel came the second time, he appeared to her again. Now, I don't have the full understanding of why he'd done this. But what I see next is what encourages my heart. She goes home. Manoah, the same guy, he's come again. Come and hear what he's got to say. And guess what Manoah did? He went with his wife to God. Guys, when we send our wives to be the spiritual leader, when we send our wives and our kids to church. Now see, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, aren't I, right now? Because if you're here, you're doing that. When we send them ahead to do what we neglect to do, our children will not do what our wives are doing. Our children are going to do what we neglected to do. Are you with me? We need to set the example. And we need to go with our wives as a team to God and hear whatever it is that he needs to say. Amen? All right. Fourth, we see the Lord instructing Manoah and what she is to do. Oh, so this gets interesting. So that means Manoah has heaven's authority to nag her and boss her and tell her what to do, right? That's right. Try that. And come back and tell me how that worked. Yeah, it's not going to work, is it? Look at what he did tell him to do. Verse 13 and 14. Here's the significance. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Underline that. Mark that. Verse 14. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, or may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, underline these words, let her observe. Those two phrases, the last part of 13, the last part of 14. Let her be careful, and then verse 14, let her observe, is the exact same translation. It's the same, I want to say word, because it takes a phrase to express what it is in the Hebrew. But what is going on is that what that phrase means, to stand guard, to keep, as a watchman would be watching over. So first of all, he says, now, Manoah, I want you to guide. I want you to support her. I want you to protect her. I want you to encourage her in her faithfulness to what I've commanded her to do. But then also, he put that same command on her. You guard, you protect, you do all that I have told you to do in faithfulness to me. Amen? So it's not putting it off on one or the other and say, oh, I can't do anything with that one. I can't do anything with my spouse. They won't listen to me. Why? Because we all have the responsibility for what goes on in our home. Why is it that she had to follow all these rules? Well, first of all, Samson was going to be a Nazarite. What's a Nazarite? Usually in the scriptures, we would see that a Nazarite would make a commitment to God, and they would do it temporarily. They would not cut their hair. They would not eat anything unclean. They couldn't touch a dead body, even if it was family. They couldn't be around a dead body. So they were ceremonial clean. They were physically clean, spiritually clean, and all of these things. They couldn't drink anything from the fruit of the vine. They couldn't drink wine, intoxicating drink, and so they couldn't even eat grapes. And so you think, well, wow, what is all the significance of this? What they were doing is that they were making a commitment and setting themselves aside. That's what being a Nazarite is being separate. Being separate from the world, but being separated unto God and for His use. Now here's the significance in the life of Samson is that he was to do so for his entire life. God giving the privilege to do so from the womb, as he describes to his mother. And so she was also to follow these same requirements. You know, it was significant that Manoah wanted to know his name. His intentions were real, and his desire was genuine, so that when these things come to pass, we'll know who to give glory to, right? Why didn't Jesus answer him? Number one, they never could have understood. How do you describe the Savior of the world that hasn't come yet? How do you describe all that He is doing? And yet, even we today in the New Testament church are still scrambling, trying to get our minds around all that He has done and has yet to accomplish. Amen? That's, I think, why we're so drawn to the book of Revelation. It's baffling. It's mind-boggling all that God is going to do and going to accomplish on our behalf, and yet reach back to Israel one more time to restore them as a nation all throughout the book of Revelation. Why is that? It's amazing because He's wonderful. Amen? How else can you describe such great grace that He describes Himself? He says, verse 18, the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Now, in your King James Version, it says secret, which the translation is secret. It's incomprehensible. It's extraordinary. So, not knowing, I'm just going to give you to this real quick. I'm not going to take time to read it. You can go to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And it's a version of that word. It's not the exact same word, but it's a variation of that word in the Hebrew of wonderful, counselor, prince of peace. Okay? So it leaves no doubt that we're talking about the Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay? The angel of the Lord is Christ. I want to get to the point of how it is that they got the clearer understanding. I've got way too much and too little time, so I'm going to get what I can here. Do you notice what Manoah did when he received the news? He received the instruction, and we even see the little footnote that's added there in parentheses that at this point, Manoah still didn't understand that he was the angel of the Lord. You see that in verse 16. He still didn't fully understand that this is God. So he says, can I detain you? Why would he do that? That is Jewish Mosaic law that you be hospitable to those who come into your home. So he was exercising faith to obey God's word. I'm going to entertain you. I'm going to feed you. We're going to take care of you. Would you allow us to do that? And the Lord says, well, you can fix for me, but I won't eat it. But what you should do is give it as a burnt offering unto the Lord. I want you to notice what Manoah did. By faith, He did what God had instructed him to do. He was hospitable and welcomed the stranger in. Number two, he worshiped. He worshiped. This is something that we overlook so many times in the New Testament church today, is that the first response to an exciting time of life, to a time of instruction and direction, should always be worship. It should be the first thing on our hearts, the first thing on our minds, and the first thing in our hearts. Why? Because when we come to God, it was a time of worship that he went in not knowing who he was, but by the end of that worship service, he knew exactly who God was, right? He still didn't fully understand his name, but he knew that he was God. Amen? When that sacrifice was burnt up on that rock, you know, we just talked about that just the other week, right? Consumed it. Oh, wow, that's neat. Well, this time it consumed the offering, and then he ascended back into heaven in the flame. Wow, how awesome. Why did that happen? Because they were in a time of worship. Folks, I'm telling you, I believe that this is the key. As believers today, worship is the most important thing that you will do this week. It will and is the most important thing you will do this week, is to worship the Lord Jesus. Everything else often becomes distractions. Everything else is just simply sustaining life in this world, in this time, which everything that we do here today on the world, in this planet, is temporary. But what happens here at a time of worship can affect and will affect eternity. Are you with me? This is the most important thing that you will do this week. It is in a time of worship that we will find the comfort, the direction, and the instruction that we need. Verses 19 through 21, it says, it was in a moment of heartfelt, genuine worship that they understood that it was God working in their lives and not just someone coming along to tell them something to encourage them, but actually God was taking control of what was about to happen. I want to ask you something today. You might as well just draw a line right over the top of number two, because that's going to be next week. When the Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more so as you see the day approaching. What was he talking about? Well, in our culture today, we use our culture as the excuse of not coming together for fellowship, for worship, and for honoring the Lord, don't we? Things get in the way. It's become the acceptance of what we're doing. When we look at the oppression of the Philistines, we don't hear God's people crying out and say, God, we want out of here. But all we hear is the heavy moans of the burdens that they are under. They come to a place that they just simply accepted that they were going to be oppressed by the Philistines and got somewhat of a comfortable place to just stay there. And instead of crying out to God for the injustice, they simply just got comfortable with where they were in the world. And folks, I'm afraid that as God's people, there are times that we get very comfortable with right where we are. Now, I'm not going to accuse you of, say, you're in the wrong place or you're doing the wrong time, but I want to challenge you today, and we're going to get into it next week, that when we talk about being separate, we're talking about a Nazirite that's separated from the world. I mean, they even looked different. They acted different. When the world was off doing things, Nazirite was separating himself and, I'm not going to do these things. I've got a commitment I'm going to keep. They looked different. But more than that, they were driven by God's plan to fulfill his purpose. And folks, when we fail to follow the Lord Jesus in faith, this couple had a very exciting moment. In fact, it might even call for, let's have a party. Let's get everybody in here and tell them the good news of what's going to happen. And instead, no, we're going to return thanks to God because of what, not what he's done yet, but what He's promised He will do in the future. Do you see the faith of this couple? And they chose to worship. And in that worship service, they got a glimpse of God. Folks, when we are challenged by God's Word to come together in a time of worship together, you realize that's when we grow. That's when we're strengthened. That's when we're given what we need. Some of you might be thinking, well, I have to work on Sundays. I know that there's many of you that do. But then all you have to do is just make Wednesday that time of worship, that time of fellowship, that you come and worship the Lord. And you know what? You don't have to be in these four walls to worship God. God has designed it in such a way that, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary that we can worship right here and now. Would you stand with me this morning? Do you know this mysterious messenger? Do you know that He is the Lord Jesus that has come? He gave His life on the cross, dying to pay the penalty of our sin and to purchase a place in heaven for us. That He's prepared and given us an opportunity to come and be forgiven of our sin and to give us a bright hope for the future. That's what Jesus has done. As you're standing with me, we're going to have a song of invitation. They're going to play. And I want you to just take a few moments this morning. I want you to think on what we talked about. Are you exercising a faith that is much the same way as this couple has done? Have you been challenged by God and said, look, you've got a future and it's up to you to follow me that I might fulfill that purpose in you? But yet He requires us to follow. Oh, now we get right back to our brokenness, don't we? We get right back to the luggage that we bring. But Jesus says, look, I can overcome all those things that you have, all those fears that you have. I can overcome them if you come and follow me. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Child of God, have you separated yourself from all of those things in the world and committed yourself once and for all to Him?